died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me. So David sent by the hand of his servants to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the people of Ammon. And the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, their lord, do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Has David not rather sent his servants to you to search the city, to spy it out, to overthrow it? Therefore Hanun took David's servants, shaved off half of their beards, cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown, and then return. When the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, the people of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beit Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and from the king of Maacah, 1,000 men, and from Ishtob, 12,000 men. Now when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. And the people of Ammon came out and put themselves in battle array at the entrance of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah, Beit Rehob, Ishtob, and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the battle line was against him before and behind, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he put under the command of Abishai, his brother, that he might set them in battle array against the people of Ammon. Then he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, you shall help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come and help you. Be of good courage and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of God. And may Yahweh do what is good in his sight. So Joab and the people who were with him drew near for the battle against the Syrians. And they fled before him. And when the people of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fleeing, they also fled before Abishai and entered the city. So Joab returned from the people of Ammon and went to Jerusalem. When the Syrians saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they gathered together. And then Hadadezer sent and brought out the Syrians who were beyond the river. They came to Helam. Shobach, the commander of Hadadezer's army, went before them. When it was told David, he gathered all Israel, crossed over the Jordan, and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in battle array against David and fought with him. Then the Syrians fled before Israel, and David killed 700 charioteers and 40,000 horsemen of the Syrians. Then struck Shobach, the commander of their army, who died there. When all the kings who were servants to Hadadezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians were afraid to help the people of Ammon anymore. So for the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So ever since 2 Samuel 7, and indeed even before that, when the Lord had told us that David was king after his own heart, but especially since 2 Samuel 7, when the Lord had promised that from David's seed, from David's offspring, would come the forever king. And we know now, of course, the forever king is Jesus Christ. God has been establishing David's kingdom and has been establishing David as king in a way that looks forward to Christ. Now, one of the things that is important to remember is that David's faults remind us that we need Christ, not David. And it's going to be very sad when we come to chapter 11 and we see the greatness of David's sin. Many people remember chapter 11 and David and Bathsheba and Uriah and the army pulling back from Uriah at the wall of the city. But they forget that the city in question is the city of Ammon. And the Ammonites are the ones who are there. The Ammonites are the ones by whose hand David murders Uriah to cover up his sin with Uriah's wife. But before we get to chapter 11, there are chapter 8 and chapter 9 and chapter 10. God has promised that he would establish David as king. And so in chapter 8, David is defeating all his enemies. He's a victorious king. In chapter 9, he shows chesed, steadfast love, covenant love, to Mephibosheth, which of course looks forward especially to Christ, because Christ is the great king who shows not just covenanted love, but even this affectionate and family love. Mephibosheth eating at his table as one of his own sons. And Christ is the one who shows family love for those who could never repay him back. Mephibosheth being lame in both feet. And the Lord Jesus brings us to his table, feeds us as his own flesh and his own bone. And even though we could never repay him, and indeed ought to have died. And he uses the same language in verse 2, and David says, "Then David said, I will show," and the word is chesed, "to Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed chesed to me." Now, when God shows chesed and its covenant love, we know that it's that covenant love of God that is from everlasting to everlasting. When men show chesed to one another, it's ordinarily faithfulness to our promises and commitments and relationships. But when David shows covenant love, it's a little bit of both. He says, Nahash showed chesed to me, so I will show chesed to Hanun, Nahash's son. This reminds us, of course, that the covenant love of God is unto us and to our children. When the Lord decided to put each of you into this family with Mom and with me, he put you in a place where there were promises made about you, and you were set apart to him from the rest of the world, and he caused the preaching of the gospel to be heard in your ears from even before you were born. And he has done so many things in his mercy and faithfulness and promises to me and to my children. You remember Joseph, when he asked, "Am I in the place of God?" He said, "I must imitate what God does to you," in Genesis 50, this past Lord's Day. He didn't just promise to take care of his brothers, but to take care of them and their little ones. And so it's a special thing about covenant love that it is not just to a particular individual, but also to those who are considered in and part of that individual. So it's very important that the word chesed here is used of Hanun with respect to his relationship to David because of his father Nahash. So we see that David is a covenantally faithful king. He's a picture of God to us here. He's a picture of Christ to us here in his covenant faithfulness. And we see in David just this little picture of what Jesus is like in his covenant faithfulness. Notice that he isn't just faithful in keeping his obligations to Hanun. He's also compassionate to his servants. Right? It was those servants' obligation as soon as their assignment was complete to return to the king and resume their post and be ready for whatever the next assignment is. But David hears how they have been treated shamefully. And if they returned like they were supposed to, it would be in great embarrassment. And perhaps they would even be tempted to disobey and not return immediately to their posts. But David sends to them, and he removes the temptation, doesn't he? Because he gives them new orders. Wait. And you see the compassion of the master. Wonderful to have a master, to have a king who is so compassionate. And of course, our Lord Jesus is infinitely more so with us. He's compassionate with regard to our circumstances, and he's compassionate with regard to removing temptation from us. So first, you have the covenantally faithful king. In the second place, you have the spiritually fruitful king. Wonderful theology in verse 12. Be of good courage and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. So the big reason to be strong and of good courage is because these people belong to God. They are the covenant people. And if you trust in God, that doesn't mean it doesn't matter what we do because we have God with us. No. If you trust in God, that means that you serve God with all your heart as you trust in him. And, however, and end of verse 12, may Yahweh do what is good in his sight. And so you see the freedom of God to do whatever is right. Not assuming that we always know what is the best providence to have come. There are many who think, oh, the best thing to happen would be that the church would have all of these liberties and that the church would not be persecuted or suffer at all. And yet, the Lord knows when it is good for his church to be chastened and purified and even to glorify him through what we do under persecution or in the midst of trouble. So this is wonderful theology, but upon whose lips do we find this theology? Joab? A bloodthirsty murderer revenge guy? Indeed, we'll hear Joab at other times with good theology on his lips. When David is inappropriately grieving over Absalom, who's been eliminated by God as an enemy of God's kingdom, and Joab reads him the riot act and tells him, you had better start acting like the king who was appointed for the glory and honor of God's name and the good of his people. And it's Joab who, when God is angry with Israel and allows Satan to tempt David to take the census, and Joab says, may the Lord multiply his people 1,000 times more, then he's done up until this point. But don't do this thing and sin against God. So how is it that Joab, of all people, would have good theology? Well, it's because he's under a king who has good theology. Even though we see at times that even David is the one who needs to be rebuked by Joab, but here is a king who is spiritually fruitful. Generally speaking, he leads his people in right thinking about God and right service unto God. A father should do this in his household, and the king should do this with his people. We can probably be fairly certain that the Magi, who come from the east, when they see the star of the Lord Jesus in the sky, are descended even hundreds of years later. Maybe not physically descended, but at least spiritually and theologically descended from Daniel. You remember Joseph's servant, when he's interacting with the brothers, is able to speak knowledgeably and theologically correctly of God as a consequence of him having been around Joseph. Well, these are all little pictures, and David, we said, is a little picture of him, of Jesus. Jesus is the perfect king in this way, isn't he? He leads us in right understanding of God. He leads us in right response to God. He's not just our king and our priest. He's also our prophet. He gives his spirit that we might have his mind, that we might have the mind of Christ and the mind of spirit, mind that is conformed unto God. He gives us his word. He trains us and he bears fruit in us. The spirit he gives us produces fruit, right? We call it even the fruit of the spirit as he produces the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, David is a covenantally faithful king, and Jesus is the perfectly covenantally faithful king. David is the spiritually fruitful king, as we see in the theology that comes off of his servant Joab, comes out of his servant Joab. And Jesus is the perfectly spiritually fruitful king. And then in the last place, David is the invincibly victorious king. The Ammonites, they got a pretty good plan, right? They say, we'll defend our city, but we'll also hire some, let's do the math here, how many thousands of Syrians? 22,000 foot soldiers, another 1,000, another 12,000, 35,000 men. So we'll defend our city here, and we'll hire 35,000 Syrians to attack from the other side, from the open field. And here Joab and Abishai are out there, and it's not all Israel yet. It's going to be all Israel in verse 17. It's just the army of the mighty men. Now there are 30 mighty men. Hopefully there's more than just the name of mighty men, right? Because they talk about those who have attained to the 30. But it's not a big group to be fighting a walled city and its defenders on one side and an army of 35,000 mercs on the other side. Joab takes a select force. Maybe he got the 30 and the rest go with Abishai. And the select force defeats the 35,000 Syrians by themselves. And when the Ammonites see that the select force have defeated the 35,000 mercs, and that there are a much larger force attacking the city, the Ammonites realize this is a terrible idea. And yet God, in his wisdom and providence, doesn't allow the Syrians to figure out that it was a terrible idea. Hadadezer, the kind of king of the Syrian coalition, somehow concludes that the problem was that there weren't enough Syrians. So he collects the rest of the Syrian armies. And of course, David then collects all of Israel, and they come out and they defeat them. And at that point, when the Syrians have been humbled and defeated, that's when they actually, Hadadezer doesn't realize it at first. Hadadezer's servants decide, yeah, we're not going to go out against David anymore. And so Hadadezer and the rest of the Syrians stop defending the Ammonites. And there's still the taking of the city to be done, but in order to show us how badly we need the true Christ and not just David as a picture of Christ, the account of Bathsheba and Uriah and so forth is going to interrupt that. But as far as David being a picture of Christ, we see here that he is the invincibly victorious king. Even when things look very precarious for his kingdom and for his church, and how often his church has been in a very small minority, and how often his church has been attacked from all sides. And yet he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Don't we see a little picture of that here? Where God is saying, I will build David's kingdom and the gates of Ammon will not prevail against it. And so we know that our King Jesus is the covenantally faithful king. He keeps all his promises to us. And keeps all his promises to anyone. And he is tenderly compassionate to us. And he's also the spiritually fruitful king. If he's working in us by his spirit, then surely that which we saw in Joab good theology, good courage, is infinitely more sure for us, the very character of Jesus, to be worked out in us by his Spirit, who is our King, and David, and Jesus is also the invincibly victorious King. He is building his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it, and his enemies should figure it out, but in his wisdom and providence, in order to utterly ruin all of them, he makes them proud and arrogant and to keep gathering themselves and attacking his kingdom. But let us, his church, not be afraid and not be worried and anxious and cowardly. Let us catch a little bit faster, catch on a little bit faster than the Syrians and say, aha, our king is the invincibly victorious king. The gates of hell cannot prevail against him. Let's pray. We thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, for being our King. Thank you, our Father in heaven, for giving Christ to be our King, your Son, to be our Lord and our Redeemer. We thank you, Holy Spirit, and Father and Lord, for giving your Holy Spirit, that he would be working out and applying the kingship and kingdom of Christ. We pray that you would help us to rejoice over the Lord Jesus and to trust in him, look to him to produce in us good theology and godliness, and that you would make us confident that your kingdom is invincibly victorious, so that we will not worry, we will not be anxious. Make us instead to be like Joab and Abishai and the mighty men, and to be strong and of good courage, to serve you and your people with all our might, and to trust that in your free wisdom, as you do whatever seems right in your eyes, that it is whatever best for glorifying you and for doing us good. Help us, Lord Jesus, not just to see a wonderful little picture of you and David and you by means of David in this chapter, but help us to see you yourself from all of Scripture and respond to you rightly by your Spirit's work in us. We ask these things in your own name, and your children here say, amen. I suspect it's going to be something from Psalm 72. It's correct. All right. Nomads will bow, 72 in the blue, or Christ shall have dominion. 421 in the red, Beatrice. 421 in the red.